folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I didn't realize I had a phone call. Fred in Iowa, I didn't mean to keep you holding. I don't know how long you've been on the line, but you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How are you?
Mr. Michael Herzog, can you hear me?
Yes, Fred, I can hear you. What's on your mind?
Okay, I think you need to take a one-day off break. You want to ask me why?
Dare I do so?
Yes.
Okay, why?
So we can rebroadcast this program about 50 times. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm so high I can be peeled off the ceiling. I'll sound like one of these parrot callers with all the accolades, but I got in contact with Tom LaCavera, which I want to see him back. That doesn't mean to see you go at all. And I've only listened, I think it's the third time I've listened to you since you've been back on. But what you, the first hour, I've been trying to get this out for a long time. But I'm only a caller, and a lot of hosts keep me down to sound bites, you know, because I'm kind of naughty. But, my God, if more people understand what the information, content of your first hour show, I'm telling you, it would start opening eyes and people would understand. But this has been a red letter day for RBN today. And if I may say this, it's kind of going the way I want. And even the trolls that called in. Boy, they made asses of themselves. But anyhow, Michael, great show. Keep it up. Talk to you later. Have one hell of a good evening. And get used to keeping your temperature, your air conditioning a little hot.
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred. I'll just say this: we're, you know, behind the scenes of the network, we're going to be implementing some new things. And the talk is, you know, first of all, yes, I want Tom LaCavera out of jail, too. John promised that if Tom got out, you know, which we all hope he does, that John's still going to have a spot for him. And so I'm fine. I told John, I said, look, if Tom LaCavera gets out and he wants his spot back in this time slot, I'm fine with it. I don't care. You know, so I didn't, or John didn't try to take anything away from Tom. But in the meantime, John is going to be doing some, you know, serious looking at different aspects and time slots and that sort of thing. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, John and I did. So that's coming in the future. I've also seen some emails from people that are asking, you know, if John would put me in a different spot during the day or whatever. But, you know, John's got a lot on his mind. I don't care. Right now I'm filling in for Tom LaCavera. What John does when, and I say when Tom gets out, because I think they're going to drop the charges on him ultimately anyway. They haven't got anything on him, Fred. So anyway, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the compliment. And keep listening, buddy. All right? I'll catch up with you later. The phone lines, folks, I mean, they're open. You can call in if you like. I've got a lot more to cover. And if I start taking phone calls or a lot of phone calls, I probably won't get through all of this. But that's okay. I've put out kind of the drift of what I wanted to get across here, which is that the state of Libya, the nation of Libya, was nothing like, and our government told you nothing of what was really going on here. And those people have to be absolutely beside themselves that now that Gaddafi's gone, all of those perks that Gaddafi brought along with him are gone. Could you just imagine that? All right, with that said, let's go to Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, you're on with Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. I really like the way you started out your program. You pointed out to the people that we don't know anything about Kim Jong-un that we don't hear from the media that has lied to us all of our lives. And
exactly.
He's just,
go ahead.
And he's right. He's the current bad guy right now. But you mentioned Gaddafi, you know, how he was a bad guy. Assad's a bad guy. Ahmadinejad was a bad guy. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. Osama bin Laden. All these bad guys that we have to deal with because we're America first. And the only thing we knew about them, it came from the same place, the government media complex, who you can trust.
Yes. What is it? Let's see. We report, you decide, right?
Yeah, and exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We distort and you comply is what it should be.
Right. We report what you believe.
And, right. And we tell you what to believe, Joel. And yeah. You better believe it too.
Can't believe that there are people that are as old as some of them are on the radio yet that still fall for it. And, I mean, how many times do you have to be lied to before you figure out you're hearing things from liars? I mean, where is their common sense?
Well, they don't have any. I mean, if you think about it, you know, they're propagandized from cradle to grave by mainstream television, you know, all of these news channels and so forth. But you add in the GMO foods and the pharmaceuticals and so forth, and they really don't stand a chance unless they really take it upon themselves to go over and start doing some real investigation, Joel. You know, they're doomed because that's the way it's designed. And then I threw into the mix the hospitalization thing, the health care over here with Obamacare. Could you just imagine for a moment, free health care? Do you think our government's going to provide us free anything? No, they want to bend us over and rape us for every nickel they can. You know, could you imagine living in Libya and having all these perks, and all of a sudden the first thing they do when they overthrow Gaddafi is go put a central bank in there, and now you got to pay full price and pay interest for it, okay? And, I mean, it's just, I don't know what I would do. If you're, you know, you get used to something, and that's part of the problem with the American people, is they're used to getting hosed constantly. You know, it's a part of life,
right? I think they like it. Yeah.
Huh? Yes, here's they enjoy being hosed. Yes, it feels good.
You can name who said it. We came, we saw, he died.
Hillary Clinton, yay.
You
but is it, and she cackled like a witch when she said it. Now,
yeah, she was laughing.
She was laughing at this guy who was doing everything as a humanitarian to help his country and help his people. What does that say about her, Joel?
Oh, geez, you know, you can hurt. She's got a record that goes back 35 years that we, you know, and that's the little bit that we get is whitewash because that's still coming from the people, you know, that give us all the news and information.
And all of the lies and all of the criminality and the death list, and it goes on and on and on, and it's constantly swept under the rug, even by the head of our own FBI.
Exactly right.
Who are
even by the head of the FBI? You're exactly right. Who's still in there, by the way?
Yes. And Trump let him stay.
Yep.
And which is another story in itself, and I try not to even go there because I'm so upset right now with what Trump's doing, turning over the military to these, you know, these mania, Dr. Strangelove and General Mad Dog Mana, and all these guys that, you know, if they're not, I had a girlfriend once that if there was no drama in our life, she would have to create it, okay? These guys are the same way, only this time it's war, okay? If there's no war, they got to create one, you know?
Yep.
That's just lunacy. Could you imagine for a moment all of us just living in peace, free health care, free electricity, gas 14 cents a gallon, loaning us, you know, interest-free money on half a car because we paid for the other half? Would we not be living in utopia?
Yes, but that's not what they want.
No, they want all the money.
Yeah, when I say they, I'm talking about the people that normal people don't even believe exist. But sometimes they run into them, like, they're now being called the deep state. That's they. That's the they that these people have never believed in for all these years because they don't believe in conspiracy theories because the people that give them their news and information have made fun of people that do question things.
Well, those people that give them the news and information, they're trusted. They're professionals. They're the pundits. They're the Wolf Blitzers of the world, Rachel Maddows, okay?
Yep.
They're the ones that you need to trust and everything else is fake news. You know that, Joel. Come on.
Go ahead. You can go.
I was just going to say, you know, you have to laugh about it because if you don't laugh about it, you'll cry. You know,
yes.
It's terrible. Go ahead.
Yes, there's so many angles. Okay, this is just my idea because then about why Trump may be doing what he's doing now after he campaigned to do other things. He's got 8 grandchildren. And I was telling this to somebody that, you know, maybe they probably wouldn't take all one of his own members of family because it might be suspicious. But when you got 8 grandchildren, you know, something could happen to one of them. And then my brain went further. And do you remember the Lindbergh case?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yes. Charles Lindbergh was, he was anti Federal Reserve. He was anti-First World War. And then, after his famous flight, he was very popular, and he was anti-Second World War. And he was doing rallies, like in Chicago and Madison, and drawing big crowds of people, and he was anti-war. And all of a sudden, his grandchild, you know, got kidnapped and mutilated, and they blamed it on the gardener, who happened to be a German who we wanted to go to war with.
Isn't that convenient?
I'm just pointing that out, and then reminding you that Trump has 8 grandchildren, and...
Well, no, I mean, and it fits, and I tell you, I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because it'll segue me into... I'm going to do a show here in the near future. I'm not sure which day, because I don't know which day has... I want to do it with the largest listening audience. You were talking about Lindbergh, and he was anti-Federal Reserve, but also with Benjamin Guggenheim, John Jacob Astor, and Isidore Strauss. They were all anti-Federal Reserve, and they all died on the Titanic. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to do a show about that here in the next week or so. I've already got it done. I think it's the best show I've ever written. I don't want to put it out there, because then once I put it out there, it's done.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here day after day savoring it, going, "Wow, that's a great piece of work," you know, and I'm holding it back. So
there was a congressman that was really against the Federal Reserve and called them vipers and thieves way back then. And they tried killing him they succeeded the third time.
Is that the guy that stood up now? Is that the guy that stood up in front of Congress, that House Joint Resolution 192, back in 1933? Or was it Traficant?
I just can't think of his name.
Jim Traficant, maybe?
Oh, no, way back.
Okay, yeah, then that's probably the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either, but I know who you're talking about. Anyway, okay.
Was it Louis T. McFadden?
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have nothing to complain about so far of your show, but that's just so far, so I'll just keep listening.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it, man. Have a good
okay.
night. All right. Anyway, phone lines are open, folks, if you want to call in. Let's see. Yeah, in July 1st, 1.7 million people assembled in Green Square, Tripoli, to show defiance against the NATO bombing in Libya, and it was 95% of the total population. Now, if we go out and do a protest, how many percentage of the population do we get out there? 0.000001, something like that, and most all of them are social justice warriors, all right? So, going on here. The Libyan Central Bank was state-owned, and unlike all banks of the West, was not owned by the Rothschilds and issued interest-free money. And then in the 1990s, as I said, Libya was accused of being responsible for the Lockerbie bombing on Pan Am 183, and it has been transpired that the United States paid the witnesses $4 million each to testify against the 4 Libyan men. Yes, they were paid to lie, and have since recanted their evidence. Now, Gaddafi was also working to change the payment of oil away from the U.S. dollar. We all know about that, to the African gold dinar. And just like Saddam Hussein, that's when the switch flipped and they said, okay, we've had enough of that. We can't let this guy do that, so we're taking him out. And that's when they demonized him. Now, this move prompted French Minister Sarkozy to call Libya a threat to the financial security of mankind. And one of the first acts after the overthrow of the Libyan rebels was to install a new central bank. And that's why all these people now are paying interest. You know, how much interest, I don't know. But the new central bank is owned by the Rothschilds, as are all the banks in the West. And as we know, the Rothschilds create money out of thin air and then charge us interest on it. And Gaddafi fought consistently to protect his people from that. Boy, he sounds like a bad guy to me. Gaddafi knew the Western banking system was a covert form of enslavement to mankind and wanted to subject his country and its people to no part of it. And unlike our leaders, like Cameron, you know, well, not our leader, but the UK, every president since JFK all the way up to Obama and now even Trump, Sarkozy, you know, over in France, Gaddafi refused to sell his people out, and Libya was debt-free. He loaned all the money at no interest. Now, when pre-announced that Gaddafi would be traveling through Tripoli, and I mentioned this, from point A to point B, the Libyan citizens would align the respective travel route by the multitudes. Many would follow behind his vehicle, cheering the entire route. Gaddafi would travel with his head and his upper body sticking out of the sunroof of his, I think it was either a Toyota or a Lexus, and with no armor, no police escorts, just him being followed and cheered by his people. And who was behind the NATO bombing of a free and sovereign people? Well, I'll give you three guesses. The Libyans had had much that we do not have in the UK, the USA, and the EU. They had a leader with integrity and courage and who consistently worked in their best interest and not the Rothschilds' best interest. So who was behind the NATO bombing? Like I said, I'll give you three guesses. I'm not going to say, but I think I know who it was. The Libyans shared in the wealth of their country, free from the shackles of usury and Rothschild banking interest. And Gaddafi set an example for the world that without Federal Reserve control of the money system, we could all live as wealthy people. Now, the West has been financially raped and enslaved by our corrupt money system, and a man who had the courage and the integrity to stand against such tyranny for his country and his people was slandered, he was beaten, he was sodomized, and then he was shot in the head and laughed at by Hillary Clinton, and then demonized in the eyes of the West's mesmerized living slaves by the Western lying mainstream media. And shortly after he was captured, beaten, tortured, sodomized, shot in the head, and killed, the mainstream media was calling him a global villain and reporting that another major dictator has fallen. And after his overthrow, there was billions of dollars in gold that are to this day unaccounted for. He was looted, killed, their mafia regime installed, and all of the gold was stolen. During the bombing of Libya, it is estimated that 30,000 innocent Libyans were killed by NATO to stop the threat Gaddafi posed, not of the threat to other people of the world, but a threat to the Western banking system trying to enslave what's left of countries in the world choosing not to be enslaved by the Rothschild banking system. And by the way, folks, as you know, there's only a handful left. Gaddafi believed that parliamentary democracies were inherently corrupt and that people should be able to represent themselves. Gaddafi spelled out his dream for a truly democratic society in his writing of the Green Book. He wrote that book. Read the book, folks. He laid out the whole plan and he put it to use. Muammar Gaddafi truly, in my eyes, was one of the most integral and honest leaders ever put on the face of this earth. And this same playbook is right now being used on Bashar al-Assad. And Donald Trump is parroting their words. And it makes me sick. And you know what? You know what's even sadder than that, folks? After our leaders and NATO had their way with Gaddafi, the aftermath of what's going on in that country now is even more sickening. And I'm going to share that with you next. Do you know what they're doing over there right now, folks? They are publicly trading and selling people into slavery. As of April 18th, 2017, the Information Clearinghouse, and it is widely known that the U.S. led NATO intervention to topple Libya's Muammar Gaddafi in 2011 resulted in a power vacuum that has allowed terror groups like ISIS to gain a foothold in the country. And despite the destructive consequences of the 2011 invasion, the West is currently taking a similar trajectory with regard to Syria, just as the Obama administration expiated Gaddafi in 2011. Highlighting his human rights abuses and insisting he's removed from power to protect the Libyan people. I hear the music back in three. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, the American. Stick around. Here we come.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I'm certainly not backing down tonight, folks. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening. I'm going to back up a little bit here, and I want you to pay close attention to this. Now, despite the destructive consequences of the 2011 invasion, the West is currently taking a similar trajectory with regard to Syria. Just as the Obama administration excoriated Gaddafi in 2011, highlighting his human rights abuses, his alleged human rights abuses, and insisting he must be removed from power to protect the Libyan people, which was a total lie, the Trump administration is now pointing to the repressive policies, alleged policies, of Bashar al-Assad in Syria and warning his regime will soon come to an end, all in the name of protecting Syrian civilians. Sounds familiar, folks? But as the U.S. and its allies fail to produce any legal grounds for their recent airstrike, let alone provide concrete evidence to back up their claims, Assad was responsible for a deadly chemical attack last week, which is total nonsense. More hazards of invading foreign countries and removing their heads of state are emerging. And this week, new findings revealed another unintended consequence of humanitarian intervention: the growth of human slave trade. And it's right out in the open over there, folks. They're not even hiding it. The Guardian reports that while violence, extortion, and slave labor have been a reality for people trafficked through Libya in the past, the slave trade has recently expanded, and today, people are selling other human beings right out in the open. The latest reports of slave... Oh, yes, didn't they improve the standard of living over in Libya? My. They did it for the people, just like they would take out Bashar al-Assad for the people of Syria. Give me a break. Don't make me throw up. The latest reports of slave markets for migrants can be added to a long list of outrages in Libya. Now, that was a quote by Mohammed Abdikar, the head of Operation and Emergencies for the International Office of Migration, an intergovernmental organization that promotes humane and orderly migration for the benefit of all. Now, according to his website, the situation is dire. The more IOM engages inside Libya, the Office of Migration, the more we learn that it is a veil of tears for all too many migrants. The North American country is commonly used, the North African country, excuse me, is commonly used as a point of exit for refugees fleeing other parts of the continent. But since Gaddafi was overthrown in 2011, the vast, sparsely populated country has slid into violent chaos, and migrants with little cash and usually no papers are particularly vulnerable. That's explained by The Guardian. One survivor from Senegal said he was passing through Libya from Niger with a group of other migrants attempting to flee their home countries. They had paid a smuggler to transport them via bus to the coast, where they would risk taking a boat to Europe. But rather than take them to the coast, the smuggler took them to a dusty lot in Sabah, Libya. And according to Livia Manante, an IOM officer who interviews survivors, their driver suddenly said middlemen had not passed on the fees and put his passengers up for sale. And several other migrants confirmed this story, independently describing the kinds of slave markets as well as kind of private prisons all over Libya, she said, adding that the IOM Italy had confirmed similar stories from migrants landing in southern Italy. The Senegalese survivor said he was taken to a makeshift prison where the Guardian notes are common in Libya. Those held inside are forced to work without pay or on meager rations, and their captors regularly call family at home demanding a ransom. His captors asked for 300,000 West African francs, about 380 pounds, then sold him on to a larger jail where the demand doubled without any explanation. And when the migrants were held too long without having a ransom paid for them, they were taken away and killed. Some wasted away on meager rations in unsanitary conditions, dying of hunger and disease. But overall, numbers never fell, The Guardian reported. If the number of migrants goes down because of death or someone is ransomed, the kidnappers just go to the market and buy one. Giuseppe Lopretti, IOM's Niger's chief of the mission, confirmed these disturbing reports. He says it's very clear they see themselves as being treated as slaves, he said. I hear the music again. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Again, phone lines are open if you want to call in. 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. More on Libya. Giuseppe Lapreti, IOM Niger's chief of the mission, as I said, confirmed these reports that it's very clear that they see themselves being treated as slaves. He arranged for the repatriation of 1,500 migrants just in the first 3 months of this year and is concerned more stories and incidents will emerge as more migrants return from Libya. Yes, this is the way they left Libya after they overthrew Gaddafi and put the central bank in there. And the conditions are worsening in Libya, so I think we can also expect more in the coming months, he added. And as the United States government continues to entertain regime change in Syria as a viable solution to the many crises in that country, it is becoming ever more evident that ousting dictators, however detestable they may be, is not effective. Toppling Saddam Hussein led not only to the deaths of civilians and radicalization within the population, but also the rise of ISIS. And as Libya, once a beacon of stability in the region, continues to devolve in the fallout from the Western humanitarian intervention, and as human beings are dragged into emerging slave trades while rapes and kidnappings plague the population, it is increasingly obvious that further war will only create even further suffering in unforeseen ways. So, that being said, folks, let's take a look at some of the comments from Libyan citizens. 5 years on from the Britain's ill-conceived military intervention to dispose of Colonel Gaddafi, ordinary people in Libya say life was better under the European-labeled despot than the anarchy and threat of ISIS in the country today.
crippled by power blackouts, a fivefold increase in the cost of food, salaries unpaid for months, and the threat of terror, citizens who took up arms against the Gaddafi, which I don't know if there were very many at all, if any, now say their quality of life was better under the feared dictator. They claim his execution has led to a power vacuum that has created 6 million little Gaddafis, and they no longer feel safe to leave their homes after dark. And amid the chaos and lack of security, 8,000 African immigrants a day cross the border into Libya and live along its coastline, waiting to cross the Mediterranean to Europe. One says, "I joined the revolution in the first days and fought against Gaddafi." This is former revolutionary fighter Mohammed. Well, there's another Mohammed, age 31, said from the southern city of Merzouk. "Before 2011, I hated Gaddafi more than anyone. But now, life is much, much harder, and I have become his biggest fan." Taxi driver Mahmoud added, "Before, Libya was much better." Oil worker Haroon, age 41, said, "Getting rid of Gaddafi was clearly a mistake because we weren't ready for democracy and we needed support from the international community, which just wasn't there." Activist Fadial added, "It should be better than Gaddafi's time, but now because of the chaos and everyone fighting each other, it's just a mess." Now, their comments echo the findings of influential British politicians who have condemned former Prime Minister David Cameron's chaotic 2011 intervention in Syria. And in the devastating verdict, the House of Commons Foreign Affairs Committee this week savaged former Prime Minister David Cameron's judgment in rushing to war and said the intervention was based on, quote, erroneous assumptions. Isn't that wonderful? An international coalition led by Britain and France launched strikes against Gaddafi's forces in March of 2011 after the regime threatened to attack the rebel-held city of Benghazi. And Cameron claimed the intervention was necessary to prevent a massacre of civilians. But the new report says that despite appalling human rights abuses over 40 years, Gaddafi had no record of large-scale attacks on Libyan civilians. What a surprise, huh? However, the cross-party committee accused the conservative of ignoring military chiefs and a lack of reliable intelligence to pursue an opportunistic policy of regime change in Libya. God, they start to get confusing. And, you know, it's like they got a laundry list of them, one after the other, folks. It says Cameron gave little thought to how Libya would fare following the removal of Gaddafi. They never think about it. They just do it and let the chips fall where they may. Yes, setting the scene for the country's descent into chaos. And Libyans today confirm to the politicians' findings that they have described their daily battles to survive. Ordinary people now face daily electricity cuts of up to 9 hours. Now remember, I asked you to remember this at the beginning of the show, folks. Remember, you lived in a country where not only did you have electricity 24/7, it was free. Now you've got daily cuts of electricity of up to 9 hours. A serious cash crisis, which prevents them from accessing their salaries. Sky-high prices for essential goods and shortages of medical supplies, which I'm sure they're bending them over and charging them up the wazoo for, because that's democracy, that's the American way. Widespread corruption has also prompted the black market rate for foreign currency to triple against the increasingly worthless Libyan dinar. Nouri, age 34, a businessman from Tripoli, added, and I quote, "It's not so much about being pro-Gaddafi because he was crazy. He was a crazy leader who was actually quite embarrassing internationally. It's just that people's lives are so difficult now compared to under Gaddafi. The situation is so bad, some Libyans, previously among the richest people in the Arab world, are considering fleeing the country on migrant boats to start a new life in Europe." Medical student Salim, age 26, from Tripoli, said, and I quote, "We thought things would be better after the revolution, but they just kept getting worse and worse. Far more people have been killed since 2011 than during the revolution or under 42 years of Gaddafi's rule combined. We never had these problems under Gaddafi," he added. "There was always money and electricity, and although people did not have large salaries, everything was cheap, so life was simple. Some of my friends have even taken the boat to Europe with the migrants because they feel there is no future for them here. I would like to escape this mess and study abroad, but I have been waiting a year for a new passport, and even when I do get one, it will be hard to get a visa because all the embassies left in 2014. So now, I feel like a prisoner in my own country, and I have started to hate my own country. An expatriate British housewife who moved to Libya with her Libyan husband 20 years ago said it is no longer safe to go out at night. Sarah, age 50, a mother of one, said, "I used to walk home alone at midnight with no fear, but now I don't like to go outside alone after dark because I don't feel safe." As well as a lack of security, the very fabric of Libyan society has broken down, with provinces, towns, and tribes retreating into themselves. "Libya died with Gaddafi," Tabu Muhammad said. "We are not a nation anymore. We have become just warring groups of tribes, towns, and cities. And before, there was just one Gaddafi, but now we have 6 million little Gaddafis. And successive post-revolutionary governments, parliaments, and leaders have all failed to provide ordinary Libyans with basic security, let alone address their daily struggles. We have had 7 governments since 2011, and what have they achieved?" asked Mahmoud. "The only thing we can see is new dustbins, because one of the early governments installed these new large bins across Tripoli. We still point to them and laugh, saying it's the only achievement of the revolution was garbage bins." With 2 rival governments, a democratically elected one now operating beyond its mandate in eastern Syria, and the UN-backed government of national accord in Tripoli, some say Libya is already on the verge of partition. "The country is already divided. We have 2 governments, 2 parliaments, 2 central banks, and 2 national oil companies. The so-called revolution was lies. It was all lies. We Libyans did not even know what the word revolution meant. We had been sheltered under Gaddafi for 42 years. And while I'm sharing this with you folks, I want you to remember who did this to these people. Our government did this to these people. Okay? They took a society that was the highest standard of living in Africa, that were used to getting free electricity, free health care. They were used to getting gas for 13, 14 cents a gallon. They were used to getting a home with $50,000 down to purchase it with an interest-free loan. And now what have they got? Because of our government. It was not Libya's revolution. It was NATO's revolution, because they wanted to get rid of Gaddafi. Let me take a break. Let's go to Sam in California. Sam, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Michael. Great subject. Have you heard of the Moriartys?
The Moriartys?
Yeah.
I know there's an actor by the name of Moriarty. Continue.
This is a family business that was, I think they're out of either Arkansas or Texas.
Okay.
They had a business to clean up.
You're breaking up, Sam. You said that. Oh, he's gone. Oh, okay. Yeah, Sam, we lost you. If you want to call back, I'll put you back up on the air. Let me get back to this. Riots have broken out at banks as people are forced to queue or line up for hours in the stifling heat at banks to withdraw a restricted amount of money. Bank security guards shot and killed 3 people in a bank line in May of this year. The price of basic goods, including imports, have gone through the roof as shipping company insurers have classified Libya as a war zone. And all food subsidies have been cut. Fadiel from Ras Lanuf said, "Under the Gaddafi regime, you could buy 20 loaves with 1 dinar, but now you can only buy 5. And they are all smaller." Does that ring a bell, folks? You go to the grocery store, you keep buying a certain product, and then you notice it's shrinking. I've watched that with cookies and potato chips and that sort of thing. Cooking oil was subsidized under Gaddafi and cost 1.75 dinars per 1 liter because of shortages. He's back. Okay. Samuel, you're back up. You got a better connection?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I hope it sounds better. The Moriartys were contractors over there when this all went down. They had been in country, I guess, a few years. They loved the people. They were loved back. As you said, everybody loved Gaddafi. He was there since 69 for 40 years. No electric bill, no interest or loans, according to these people. He had 179 tons of gold, 2,000 tons of silver, many other metals, $500 billion in currency. The mortgage was 10% of your salary for 20 years, and they made an average of $1,580 a year. So that was $1,580 they paid a year to have probably a 2,000 to 3,000 square foot home. They got 46, according to the Moriarty, $46,000 at marriage. For every birth, $5,000. Half the dealer invoice on a new car, medical all paid, education all paid, even out of country, plus a stipend of about $6,000 to have your expenses paid out of country. Stored houses of country food everywhere. For anybody who couldn't make it under those conditions, they could just go in without any ID, get all the food they want, and according to him, 44 cents a gallon for Supreme Fuel. And when NATO hit him, he killed 600,000 people. 60,000 sorties were flown over the country. That's more than World War II. Homes, hospital, power stations, water systems. And they brought in, because all the people loved Gaddafi, our lovely government and the New World Order had to bring in 250,000 mercenaries to pull this all off.
And he had
under construction 620,000 condos that were 2,000 to 3,000 square foot. Those were all bombed to shit.
And the gold and the silver and all of the money that he had was stolen, and it's still unaccounted for.
This is why we need Korea right now, because they're defunct, they're out of it, they got to refinance it again, and this is what we'll do to another country.
And they took a country of these people, and this is why I wanted people to visualize this, is they took a country of people. I mean, this is the closest thing to heaven on earth, living in a country like that. We could only imagine. And this is what they did to these people. Okay.
Yeah, if you could get the Moriartys on, that would be awesome, because they also gave an update. They've been on the Power Hour with Joyce Riley quite often, and they gave it a recent update on why Trump did this fake, bombing over there, because they said Israel was ready to lob in nukes. So Trump did a way for him to stop that from happening, to make it look like we're doing something.
This is amazing, and they're ramping it, yeah, and they're ramping this up right now under the same shtick, the same malarkey with Syria,
yeah,
and North Korea. Who, again, I don't know that Kim Jong-un has harmed anybody. Okay, they're ramping this thing up against him as well, and the public at large is still buying their Kool-Aid. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And when Fred called in and said, I've been trying to get this word out, I'm trying to get it out to everybody I know. And I tell people this in person. You know, I'll go out and meet somebody or whatever and tell them. They don't even believe me.
That's not true. If that was true, I'd have heard it on TV.
No, you're not going to hear it on TV, okay? I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. Well, you know what? I don't. The Moriartys are down in Texas, you said?
Yeah, I think they're in Texas. They're hiding out because they've got death sentence on them. But you can reach them through the Power Hour. If you call there, they've got a website, too. I don't know it offhand. And a DVD about all this. I mean, they were set up to be beheaded, but a few of the Gaddafi loyalists got them out of country.
Okay, well, I'll do some digging on that and see if I can find them. Yes, I would love to have them up on the program because, you know, this is just part of it.
They're eyewitnesses. They're getting the best intel that, according to them, that there is right now, what's really happening in Syria and everywhere else, and what happened to the ambassador over there. That was a hit, according to them. Remember when the Bassiter went down and the four so-called whatevers?
You're talking about Christopher Stevens. You're talking about Christopher Stevens. Well, okay, weren't they
testimony to that. These
interesting,
people know
okay.
a lot. They're dangerous
yeah.
to the government. They're dangerous.
And again, I will do some digging and see. I've said this before. You may have listened or may not have, Samuel, but... You know, I'm so busy right now. It's tough for me to do any really deep digging. I'll try, but until my other contract agreement is up, you know, I'm kind of just preparing these shows ahead of time because I don't even have the time to prepare them. I prepare them on the weekend, then I do them during the week right now. So,
well, you're doing an awesome job. I really appreciate it. I've listened to everything you think you've done since you started, and you're a cut above what's on the main right now, up there at RBN, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I don't know. I haven't had the opportunity to visit a number of different shows to find out. I did that the last time I was here, you know, and then John and I got together and we had some discussions about it. I'll probably do it again, but I don't have time right now. But anyway, thanks for the call. I think I got another caller on the line. I'll let you go, Sam, but
One other thing, don't forget, go to Joyce Wiley, the Power Hour, and get the information on the Moriarty. That's where you'll find it. It'll be easy.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, thank you, buddy. All right. Let's go to, is it Murr in Wisconsin? Hello? Hello.
Wow, what was that? I have their website. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, it's the Libyan. No, not the Libyan War, the Truth. Libyan War, the Truth, and it's in your chat room, the American Awakening live chat.
Okay, I don't go in there. So, is it LibyanWarTheTruth.com or is it
LibyanWarTheTruth.com? That's
okay.
Moriarty's.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yes, I will. I'll dig into that right after.
Contact them there. Yeah,
I will dig into that right after the program, and I'll see if I can get these people up on the air.
I wouldn't want you to have to go through another radio show. You ought to be able to get it.
Well, no, and I've had my, you know, I had kind of a run in with Joyce Wiley many, many years ago, which I'm not going to go into. But when they said contact the Power Hour, I'm not going to do that.
Libyan War, the Truth.
Okay. Well, thank. And your name is Murr. Is that right?
Yeah, it's an acronym.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the information, and I will follow
up
on it.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for what you do. Bye-bye.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, I'll have these people up on the program. Absolutely. And I think I mentioned this before, folks, that, you know, right now I don't have a lot of time to do anything. I prepare my shows over the weekend, and I just blast them off through the week. But if you guys have an idea for a guest or you have something you want me to dig into, let me know, because I do have a couple of lovely ladies that are providing me with information that I sit down, I go through it, and then I kind of write my own script to it and so forth, and I kind of add in some stuff. Because honestly, I don't have time right now. So my weekends are pretty well booked up. But when this is over with, when my other commitment is over with, I'll be more, let's put it this way. I'll be more at ease, you know, to be able to sit down and do some digging, which is why I haven't really spent a lot of time, like the Daily Show is talking about Trump or what's going on or whatever, because I don't have the time to listen. Okay. Let's see. What is this? Joanne and Jim Moriarty. Skype. The names. What? Okay. Just a second, folks. Hold on a minute. Joanne and Jim Moriarty. Oh, the names you were asking. Okay. Joanne and Jim. All right. Oh, I thought maybe you had them on the line. That would have been great. Okay. Joanne and Jim Moriarty.
Yeah. Go
okay.
to that website.
Yeah. What's that, Mike? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Merce. Merce?
What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, their names are Moriarty.
Right. My board operator just typed in as Joanne and Jim Moriarty, correct?
Right, James and Joanne, right, J-O-A-N-N-E. But it's at that site.
Oh, I'll go right after it, okay? And I hope I don't... You know, I don't want to bore you people with some of the same information, but it's nice to get it from another perspective as well, from people who witnessed
it. Well, you're so well-versed on Libya. They would appreciate that. They would appreciate that.
Well, yeah, I went down the rabbit hole on Libya a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I was going to put this show together back before I left RBN the last time. And then when I left, obviously I didn't have a voice. I wasn't on the air. I had offers to go on different networks, but I turned them down. I've got this thing for RBN. RBN's listeners.
Good.
Well, RBN's listeners are more of a family than other networks are. And
the most recent article is from the 21st, and it's entitled Russia Supports the Great Libyan Tribes.
Russia supports, okay.
Yeah, that's at that website, same website.
Okay, well, I'm going to go in there after the show's over and take a look at it.
Yep, but they are hounded constantly. They are hounded.
By who?
You know, CIA probably, FBI, whoever.
Oh,
CIA
I thought you meant they were hounded to get up on the airwaves with different talk show hosts.
Well, no, I think they actually get interrupted a lot when they do get on the air, but they do get some coverage and everything. But I mean, like, everything's been taken from them. They get stopped on the road all the time, and, you know, house messed with. And
yeah, and you know what, Merce? This is what happens when somebody steps up to the plate and tries to tell the truth. Look at Julian Assange. What? When he was coming out with all this information on Clinton, Trump was, you know, giving him accolades as a hero. Now all of a sudden Trump wants him arrested. What is the matter with these hypocrites?
You know what? Assange went missing last October. If you look into that, you'll see they closed down the airport, the closest airport. Same time they cut his network, and whether he's alive or not, I don't know. But you know, releasing the information is good. You know, but
well,
I want to tell you something right from my heart. I think Trump is given a lot of bluster ever since he revealed this Michael Kadar, Kaydar. Look that up, man. You got to get into that. After hearing you, how you're going on about Libya, look into this. Okay, he sent Trump, for the first time ever from this country, sent a team FBI to Israel and busted this guy and his father. Okay, and they're trying to keep it on the down low over there, of course. But it's like Goldberg from 2 years ago, Joshua Ryan Goldberg. I don't know how many of these trolls there might be, but they do international damage, ripping.
Do me a favor, Merz. Before you get off the phone, leave your contact information with my board op, because I'd like to get a little bit more into this with you about that,
okay.
If you don't mind.
Well,
and I'm running out of time. Go ahead.
All right. Try to get in your chat room, because I put all kind of stuff in the chat rooms.
Okay. What is my chat room? The American Awakening at .chatango.com, right?
Yeah, the American Awakening. Yep,
.chatango.com. Okay, I'm out of time. I got to let you go, dear, but thank you
all
so
right,
much
thanks.
For the call and the information, and I'll
okay.
get on it. Okay, folks, thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to try to get a hold of these people and get them up on the air, and if I can do it, we'll go round and round again, okay? So stay out of trouble, have a good night's sleep, and I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow night. Bye.
Figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Sin.